Thank you. Thank you, man. Yeah. Jesus is my Savior, but you just saved us. Thank you, buddy. Wow. Thank you, God. Listen, I was so blessed this morning, Pastor. I looked around. How many men we have there this morning in that breakfast? 75 men at Western Sizzling in the little breakfast. Yeah. I see a lot of you out here. It's just good to see you. But I'll tell you what, from my point of view, I'm the one preaching. I'm the one sharing. And I stand up and these guys, you guys are amazing. God is doing something. There's a grace. You know, sometimes you got to understand everything's by grace. There's a grace to pursue Him. When you're hungry, when you desire, when you say, I want more, Lord, there's a grace that comes to reveal Himself to you that actually empowers you to seek Him more than you've ever sought Him before. It's really important to ask Him to come and empower your heart and stir your heart and do a work in you like that. I remember a pastor prophesied over me when I first got saved, and he said, you know, the Lord says da da da, and he's saying all this stuff, and it was powerful, and it was relating to my heart, and I was crying, and he said, and I'm giving you a grace to pursue, and I've never forgot that. I thought, man, He's the one that stirs my heart to be with Him. So if He's stirring my heart to be with Him, be with Him. And I just looked around that room, and I was humbled to be there, and that you guys would just let me speak into the heart of you guys. And I looked, and it was priceless. You'd have had to have been in my shoes. I looked, and all these men are just like, I mean, and they're sincere, and I saw tears in some, and you could see sincerity on the face of so many men. And I'm like, God, You are doing something. Listen, guard that grace. Guard your heart. For out of your heart flows the issues of life. Don't let things catch you off guard. Don't let things hurt you, make you angry, disappoint you. That's just you getting twisted up and deceived and turning back to the old way. Thinking for yourself, considering yourself, taking things personal instead of the gospel. Amen. Listen, because if you're not careful and you start living that way, you'll just rub around people and get around people that sympathize with you, that feel like you feel. And you don't need sympathy. You need truth. Truth's what'll make you free. Look, I'm sorry folks done us wrong. I get all that, and I'm sorry that stuff. But listen, when hurting people gravitate to hurting people. And that's why they become friends, because they cheer each other on. I don't need a reason to be hurt. I got a reason to be free in the face of it all. And I'm telling you, I'm looking around and seeing faces that are being ministered to by grace, and God has our attention, guys. So let's make the most of it. Amen. So you personally, it's just a little word I'm starting off, and I'm going to preach like a madman the good news tonight. I feel it in my heart. We just sang the gospel. And there's a reason. You're going to see why. I don't put a jacket on to preach. I've been saved. June will be 21 years. So I'm either a good actor or I'm alive inside. And I'm just telling you, I'm alive inside. It's not old. It's not stale. Life doesn't have the power to speak louder than truth. It doesn't mean we don't have circumstances and trials. It doesn't mean everybody always does everything right towards us. What matters is I see who I am now, and I see my response, and I'm living and walking in the light. Amen? It says, if any man says he's abiding in Him, he ought to also walk even as He walked. Yeah. Do you think I'm going to believe that and have people issues? Not today, friend. And tomorrow ain't a good day either. Tomorrow ain't going to happen either. Listen, I've finally become free. And the biggest thing I've become free from was living for me. And because I got free from me, I finally got free from you. So guess what? So serious. So guess what? This is why I have joy. Anytime you'll ever see me, I'm going to be like this or a little worse. And the only reason I'll be a little worse is because I'm going to know Him maybe a little bit more. But life didn't give me this. Truth did. And it ain't going to change unless I get my eyes back on some lie. See, when I got free from me, I got free from you, which means I can finally see you for who you are and not need you anymore. I can finally love you. Because if all I do is need you, I'm living as good as you're doing me. And then you become my reason for where I'm at or where I'm not. And that's twisted. It's a lie. Jesus is why I'm where I am. And I got the best look at you I've ever had in my life. It's the only reason I flew here. Come on, I didn't fly here to spank you. And I didn't fly here just to preach. I preach to a tree, man. I'd tell it, you're awesome. Wave your branches. I'd worship too. You're amazing. I would just preach. I didn't fly all the way here to preach. I could preach anywhere. He invited me. I felt good in my heart to come. I told you yesterday, I like this man, so that helped a lot. I just like Kevin. And then he introduced me to this man, and he was up here sharing and teaching. And I leaned over. I said, how can't you like this guy? Like, you got to like him. Right? And the wife goes, that's awesome. Man. Okay. I'm just going to get done with all that. Okay, you guys all right? I'm going to preach the gospel, okay? We just sang two songs. The last two songs we sang were straight up gospel songs. They were finished work songs. So for everybody to get clarity and understanding in here, I'm not sure we always clearly understand the gospel, even though we're in church a lot and stuff, because we talk about a lot of the things and we sing and stuff, but I want to make it so clear. I feel like the Lord was telling me tonight to just preach the finished work and preach the blood and preach the cross. So I'm going to do it. Because it leaves you changed and clean and free. And the reason I'm excited and confident, it has nothing to do with circumstances. Nothing to do with how people are acting, treating, or doing. It has to do with truth. It has to do with what He accomplished and who I am now that He's come. Keeping my eyes on that and living by faith, not by sight. So you have to understand that in your Bible and in my Bible, there is a phrase called the faith that's used over and over and over. Contending for the faith, continuing in the faith, established in the faith, obedience to the faith, resist the devil, standing steadfast in the faith. Paul, I've finished the course, I've run the race, I've kept the faith. He is not talking about a tool that you apply to get things from the Lord. He's talking about a perspective that you live by. The faith. Now that you're sanctified, set apart, called out of darkness into the light. Do those things sound familiar? They're all scriptures. It's who we are now that He's come. The armor of God, the righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. Everything He accomplished and caused me to be, I take on that identity. The tree's made good. The fruit's got to be good. I live by faith. I'm accepted in the Beloved, not rejected. No matter how many mistakes I've made in the past, even if I stumble along the way now, I ain't trying to stumble. I want to know Him when I'm growing, so I never run from God and hide from God. I run straight to Him. And I say, Father, that's not what You created me to be. That is less than Your grace in my life. And I don't even know where, how, but that is not my desire. That is not my life. Search my heart, God. Thanks for washing me, empowering me, making me wiser and sharper than ever before, because I'm coming after You. That sure beats getting condemned and losing faith and identity for 3 days and crying yourself to sleep when you don't even sleep anyway. Come on, the days of fig leaves and hiding are over. That was Adam and Eve. We're in a new covenant. We're robed in righteousness. That isn't a reason to sin and get away with it. That's a reason to live free from it and keep your identity and your understanding apart from man's weakness and living by the strength of the Spirit of God. One of the biggest mistakes we make is we think our ability to sin makes us sinners. I'm going to get on that a little bit tonight. Listen, we think just because we have the tendency to fail, we're failures. Now I'll tell you what, when God gets in your heart and changes your heart and you have no desire to fail, you're not a failure. And as soon as you find yourself slipping into something less than your heart desire, less than His calling, you run straight to Him. And you thank Him for doing a work in you, putting light in you, that you see things for the way they really are. That years ago you'd have done that and wouldn't have even blinked, and now you see it clear. God, thank You for growing me and changing me. Come on. You can't stop that kind of faith. You can't stop that kind of grace. And we get so crazy with this thing in the church. We're like afraid. If we're not careful, we're afraid to receive the grace that changes us. And we relate to our human experience and everybody else's experience. But we're never perfect. Yeah, but we're always going to sin. What are we even saying? What's that going to accomplish? Is that humility or is that deception? Because maybe it's not a point of perfection and hey, you're not ever going to sin and you are going to sin. That's not the argument. The argument is making the tree good and living with a clear conscience, reckoning yourself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Come on. You make the tree good and the fruit is good. You know what we hear? Because our hearts are sincere. We hear Jesus say, a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And we go, because we introspect our tree and go, we are fruit inspectors. Good tree can't bear bad fruit. And we go, fruit. Wow, that apple ain't cool. I shouldn't have been in denial. I should have been addressing that. I shouldn't have let my heart get dull. I should have followed my convictions. Man, that ain't cool. Now I'm uncomfortable. That preacher's preaching. You'll know them by the fruit. And this fruit ain't cool. I guess I'm not a good tree. Oh, my goodness. I'm not a good tree. I'm not a good tree. That's what people do. And then Jesus says, and a bad tree can't bear. And you go, no, wait a minute. Now I'm confused. Because I see this tree, this apple that doesn't look good, so I can't be a good tree. But not everything in my life's a throwaway. I mean, God's been using me, and there's some good things, and I can pull out some things. God said, wait a minute, a bad tree can't bear good fruit? But there's some good thing. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, but... And see, if he's talking about fruit, we're confused. But it's amazing how we're trained to only hear fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. Fruit is not even the topic of the sentence. It's the tree. But we hear fruit. He's not saying a good tree can't bear bad fruit. A good tree. Talking about tree. So he says, therefore you'll know a tree by it. What's he talking about? He's talking about identity. He's talking about knowing who you are. Because if you know who you are, see, how you see yourself is how you'll be. So he says, watch. He says, so therefore, make a tree good. And its fruit. He's not saying, clean up, shape up, get it right, try harder, do good. He's not even talking about that. He says, make a tree good. What he's saying is, show people who they are now that he's come. Get the thing straight. You're accepted in the beloved. You're righteous. You were wicked and alienated by the way your mind worked and strangers to God. But he reconciled you through the death of his son and made you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. The Bible says, if indeed you continue to believe and are not moved away from the hope that you've heard. You know what happens? We get moved away. We let feelings and emotions rule and reign and fail to live by faith. And we say, oh, well, whatever. Well, how come? Well, God. And all of a sudden, we prove we're still in it for us. All of a sudden, we prove we have the ability to be discouraged and disappointed. Why? Because we're still taking life personal and gospel. All of a sudden, you talk to yourself less than you've been created to be. And all of a sudden, you buy into something when you're not for sale. Yeah? Oh, I'm preaching good to you right now. It's good preaching. You know I'm going to preach good. You gave me a mic in your church. If I don't preach good, you take it from me, all right? Because I know you boys can get up here and preach it. You guys hear me tonight? So if you make a tree good, the fruit will be. If you make a tree bad, the fruits. What's he saying? How you see yourself to be is the production of your life. Wow. So how's this look? Waking up in the morning, instead of waking up in the morning and trying not to sin, why don't you wake up in the morning and be accepted and received? Why don't you be forgiven and righteous? Why don't you make that tree good through the finished work of Christ and don't risk being presumptuous? Be in faith. If he said, I love you through Jesus, you ought to be loved. If he says you're worth the blood, you ought to say yes. See, because here's the deal. Addictive behaviors, cycles, and the things that we slip in are almost always related to a low esteem and a crushed identity. And we don't see the value of who we are, so we live up to the low level that we see ourselves. And if Jesus can change that, we will live like a prized possession. Oh, it's so powerful. It's what's wrong with me.
What I'm telling you is what's wrong with me. On every video you'll ever see, this is what's wrong with me. Like, I'm like this and can't help it. I'm saved 20 years, not 20 days. This isn't, oh, Jesus. This is 20 years of trials, of witchcraft stuff, of family decisions, of children making mistakes, of stuff, guys. 20 years of life, but not just life, life in Him. 20 years of opportunities to be flesh, to be a man, to be deceived, to be discouraged, to be disappointed. No. Back up 20 years. I didn't pray a prayer for blessing that day. I didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven that day. I prayed a prayer to become one with Him so that everything He desired me to be, He would empower to me. I gave it to Him. I denied myself. I picked up my cross and I'm following my King. Come on, man. I didn't pray some prayer to go to heaven. I didn't pray some prayer just to go to heaven. You know what happened? Heaven came inside of me. It came inside of me. God. Come on, guys. And you think that something this powerful, you got to give your heart to it in faith. You can't let an attitude and natural wisdom and human reasoning rob you from the truth that's crying out to set you free. You say, well, whatever. Whatever. Come on, you wouldn't even feel like that if Adam didn't eat the tree. You wouldn't even know how to think that way if you weren't born into Adam. Time to get born again. Yay for Jesus. Listen to me carefully, church. The Bible tells us to renew our mind, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Here's the deal. In all you're getting, Proverbs 4, not in some, in all. In all you're getting, get understanding. Why? Because what we don't know is destroying us. We've been trained by a lie, homeschooled in the wrong home. Your whole life you've been taught to think like the world, to think like the devil thinks in his camp. Self-centered. The only reason our emotions are the way they are is because we think for ourselves from the time we're born. That's why you're jealous. That's why you're angry. That's why you're frustrated. That's why you're resentful. None of those things are Jesus. And we're created in His image. None of them things are to be us. You put it all away. You deny yourself because you were never made for you. It's the biggest problem on the planet. Man living for himself when he's made for His image. Man making his own way when he's the way. And Proverbs calls it in two chapters, 14 and 16, the way that seemeth right. Oh, it seemeth right. And you can talk about it at the lunch table, the coffee table, when men all agree, it seemeth right. There's a way that seemeth right to a man. But you look at what that way's producing and you'll find out where it's coming from. Because if that way is hardening your heart, if that way's discouraging you, if that way's giving you a right to be in the flesh, if that way's giving you a right to be right, it cannot be the Lord who gives life and life more abundantly. We've been taught to think and train by a lie. And guys, it's time to get born again. And somehow, we've turned born again into a theological positioning to where a trumpet blows and our name's in the right book. No. My life's in the right place. And this is how I know love is perfected, that I have confidence and boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as He is, so are we in the world. That's different than a confession. That's different than a prayer one day when you were 15 moved and you asked Jesus into your heart. We argue tooth and nail over that thing. Jesus never said to ask Him into your heart. He said, give Him your life. He never told you to pray a prayer and then go on with your life and say, hey, at least I'm in. I'm not messing with nobody's salvation. Listen, you can know you're saved because you have fellowship with Him, communion with Him, and an unveiled face before the throne. Why? Because you see that you have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed through the heavens. And you come boldly into the presence of Almighty. That sure beats. That sure beats being discouraged, being frustrated, and having reasons to stay in the flesh. We say, yeah, but brother, they are excuses to remain the same, assuring tomorrow is always yesterday. Listen, I'm not being mean. I'm just talking straight up. I'm not being insensitive. Honestly, I wish we would just get this, that we don't need sympathy. We need truth. Look, you say, well, brother, I've been touched wrong in my life. Wonder if I was. See, you can't mess with me. Wonder if I do understand. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. My daddy was never there. Well, wonder if mine wasn't either. Wonder if he was an alcoholic and told me I'd never be nothing. See, you can't mess with me now. See, because I'm not going to agree with your story. Because I understand more than you know. And I ain't telling the half, because I don't talk about the hell of it. Heaven's come. Come on. You say, but I can't love God because my daddy never loved me and I can't relate to a father. You're not supposed to relate to the Father through your father. That just makes natural sense. You relate to the Father through Jesus Christ. Oh, it'd be great if your daddy loved you. It'd have been great if mine did too. But mine didn't. He drank and drank and drank. Got cirrhosis bleeding out of his behind. And at age 40, he was dying. I'm driving him home from the bars. He can't even drink no more. He'd drink one, choke it down, try not to throw up. The second one would numb him and he couldn't walk because his body said, I'm done. And then I'd pick him up and he'd take his frustration out on me. Anger and his emptiness, and he'd say, you'll never be nothing. And I'd say, Dad, just stop, Dad. You say, well, that's too much. You're just a young man. You need help. You need psychology. You need ministry. You need deliverance. It's already come through the truth. When Jesus came, here's what I realized. Wow, I could try to find myself through my daddy, or I could try to find myself through Jesus. I could try to get God to make up for lost time, but I guess that wouldn't be trusting the Redeemer of all things. I guess I could come and try to get a hug from you and let you take my daddy's place, but then maybe the finished work ain't enough. Maybe the just live by faith. Maybe what he did's enough. Listen to me carefully. My dad was a dry cup. If I'm thirsty trying to drink from him, of course I'm dry. But if I drink from the river that never runs dry. Watch this. Just one drink. Do you get it? Just one drink. Just one look at Revelation. Just one truth about my life and identity apart from all that craziness. Touch wrong, alcoholism, poverty, city life. Trying to make it. Trying to be tough. Trying to survive. Don't tell me I don't understand. You see my joy and countenance, you might misread it and think I just got glassy seas all the time. You weren't there when witchcraft's trying to kill me. You weren't there when my wife was in a coma with brain damage. You weren't there when my kid was on drugs. You can see, you can't see none of that in me.
That's right.
See, you're too late to mess with me. If I got to jump through every hoop of every bad thing that ever happened, I'm going to take forever to even get close to him. If I let him make the difference, it's over. I'm saved right now. Enjoying it and having a great time. So guess what happened? My dad saw my life changed and got born again. My dad don't have no cirrhosis. He'll be 74 years old this year. 'Too late to mess with me. You can get theological and debate over coffee all you want, but I got a real life experience with Jesus and we're friends. You can debate theology all you want, but I've been crossed that line a long time ago. It's just too late to mess with me, dude. I'm telling you. That's so powerful, man. It just makes you like the old rooster crow, man. Shoot. I got so excited when I got saved. Man, did I get saved. I ran over to my parents the next day. I got saved Sunday night. I woke up Monday morning, weeping, presence of God in my room, praying in tongues. Say, oops. Nobody told me I couldn't. Nobody told me I could. And I didn't even really know what I was doing. Oops. But I knew it was God. See how late you are for me? You say, well, that was the devil. You better be careful with that. That's about the only excuse Christians have anymore. You're either lying or it was the devil. Sounds like people said that to Jesus a lot. And he didn't have a whole lot of good to say about that mentality. Woo. I'd rather be on the other side of the fence, church, than being a judge and calling everybody a liar or the devil. That doesn't even sound like it could be close to Jesus. That can't even be in the ballpark of heaven. I would not pride myself in that opinion. You say, well, I don't believe their testimony. They don't even have to be telling the truth. Jesus is still a healer. Read your Bible. We just are pushovers, man. We're letting people decide how we are. We better let Jesus fool that thing. Come on, we sing He's Lord. Why do we let everything else matter more? Maybe we sold into the idea that He's just here to do good things for us. And some of us are disappointed because it ain't worked out that way. Maybe some of us have needs and they're actually wants. Because they're determining our disposition and our motivation and our countenance. Maybe they're idolatries because they've risen above knowing Him. See, I can tell you all this and smile and love you. It don't hurt. Come on. I ain't beating nobody up. I'm just talking plain straight stuff. I went into my parents' house and I said, guys, I got to tell you something amazing. I knew Mama would cry. She's a good girl. I just expected Dad to be happy. I wouldn't really strong expect it. If you go in there with a strong expectation and you're trying to... See, my dad had never said he was proud of me. My dad, he was an alcoholic. He didn't like himself. He was crushed inside, so he had nothing to give. And if you grow older, I can see you being young and getting deceived, but if you're 20s, 30s now, and you're still fighting that thing, well, my dad, come on, you're of age. Come on, why are you letting what he's not define what you are? Why are you letting what you despise decide you and sculpt you to this moment? Grow wiser than that and say, wait a minute. I'm of age now. I can see clear. This is crazy. I've been letting sin against me produce sin in me. I've been letting where my parents weren't decide where I am. I'm letting what life was decide what life is, but I'm singing life's in Jesus. I'm on you right now. You can feel it. This is good. I got so much fun. I watch your faces. Sometimes it's like a deliverance service. You don't even know it. It's like... It's so fun. It's so fun. And things are just screaming out the room called wrong thinking, wrong believing. Yeah. If God can change our perspective, He's already changed our life. If He just changes the way I see, He changes the way I be. The eye is the lamp of the body. So here's the deal about a pure motive. If you go into your house to tell your parents, I just got saved, and your whole motive is that they dote over you and freak out and go, oh, I'm so proud, you're probably going to get let down. Because if you're really saved, that don't matter how they respond to them. You're saved. And ain't nobody can shout you down. Like the night I got saved, I had my wife so hurt in our marriage because I was just selfish. Oh, I was such a terrible husband. I demanded the world of her and more. And she gave me almost all of it and it wasn't enough. And I ran her little battery dead. And one day her little heart dried up and died inside. She was angry. My wife was never like that. She's the sweetest thing. Go out of her way to do me right. And it was never enough. It was expected. I go to work every day. This is my kingdom. You're my subjects. And you need to do what I'd scream at my kids. I was terrible. And after 13 years, she couldn't take no more. So one day she said, I'm done in this marriage. I said, awesome. I've been waiting for that. I've been hoping that would be the case. I'm glad you want that because I do too. And I got real arrogant about it. I tried to hurt her all the more. It's terrible what we do when we live for ourselves. Mother of my two children, the wife of my youth. When I stood there on wedding day, I was so excited. She wanted to marry me. And then all I did was use her, abuse her. And oh my goodness, I didn't hit her. I just crushed her all the time with my lack of love. I met her, I was 19, she was 23. I thought that was amazing, Chris. I said, this is a woman. I said, this ain't no girl I graduated with. This is a woman. Yeah. 23, I'm 19, I ain't thinking Jesus. I'm thinking 23. I said, woo! I said, something's going to happen here. It's going to be good. My first chance. She just got saved 6 months before I met her. It's how it works. People get saved, get their heart on fire, and they're sure they meet the right one right in the heat of being saved. Be careful with that. It's almost always a distraction. Because the last thing you need is an emotional thing going on and having. No, you get established in God. You get rooted and grounded in love. You get a firm foundation. And then out of the strength and fullness of your life, you give yourself to someone in covenant. Or else you're going to need them to be what only Jesus can be. And it ain't going to be what you thought. And I don't think we love anymore. And what happened to the fire? It was never love. It's a Hollywood movie. See, that's what happened. She's 23. I'm 19. I'm strutting through the earth, buddy. I think she likes me. She's 20. This man, my first slide. It ain't me no more, girl. You look through them Jesus eyes. My first chance. My first chance. I'm moving on her. She says, Dan, what are you doing? I'm like, what am I doing? You 23. You just came out of two long-term relationships. What am I doing? That's what I'm thinking. I just kept right on sliding in there and got a little more aggressive. I figured she'd yield. She stopped me abruptly. She said, Dan, what are you doing? I said, what am I doing? And I kept moving in. It was nasty. It was nasty. And she said, she looked at me so sincere. She said, we're Christians. And I went, duh. She asked me if I was a Christian, and I told her, yeah, because it helped the cause. If I'd have told her no, we had trouble. Now I ain't got the 23-year-old. So it don't hurt me to give the yeah. I figured I'm American. I'm probably Christian. I was born in the U.S. I'm probably a Christian. I went to church when I was a kid. Doesn't vacation Bible school count? I mean, seriously, come on, be real with me. Doesn't going to church make you a Christian in this country? Doesn't praying a prayer, quoting a prayer, following a preacher in a prayer, isn't that what makes you a Christian? No! It's Christ-likeness that makes you a Christian. Oh, man, I'm preaching good right now. So I told her I was a Christian. I said, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. She said, oh, good. Because she just got saved. She's 6 months old. The last thing she needed was me in her life. Because the last thing I'm thinking is Jesus. I'm thinking 23. And I'm thinking my buds ain't been with no 23. I'm going to shout them down. I'm going to sleep with her, tell her I love her, and then boast to my buddies. That's how it is, girls. You ought to get real with that thing. Don't you think it's love, and don't you think it's flattering. It's called lust and flesh fulfilling itself at your expense. Oh, I'm preaching. I'm not afraid to preach this stuff. In fact, you can't even take the mic from me now. Samson will come on me, man. I'll pull out a jawbone. I'll take some pastors out. No, don't get uncomfortable with this topic. We ought to talk about it a little. Because that's how it is out there. It's people trying to meet their emotional needs and find identity in one another and getting heartbroken and devalued and dishonored and back in it again and again and again. And then that thing ends up biting you and getting in your blood and messing things up. And all of a sudden, whoa, I think I've been deceived. It don't have to go there. And if you've already been there, shake that thing off of your heart right now and say, wow, glad I see clear now. That person's dead. I thank God I'm alive. And the blood of Jesus and the mercy of the gospel comes upon you and makes you brand new. Yeah? I didn't finish the story about going to my parents because it's not important. That was just me excited to tell you. God got me way over here. We're not going back there, so don't even worry about that story. That one's done. Okay, if it wasn't done, I'd go right back to it because I'm thinking about it. But I'm just letting you know that story's done. That wasn't part of the test of the thing tonight. Okay? It would have been good. It would have passed. You'd have went, well, and got something out of it. That's not where we're at. So, I'm just telling you, Jesus realized, and he just told me to make sure you know I ain't going back there. Don't say, well, you never finished that story. Don't listen right now. We're here. We're here. So my wife says, we're Christians. And I go, duh, yeah. And then I gave her some lame line like, well, what do you expect? I mean, look what you do to me. You're so amazing and you're so hot and you're so shapely and you're so whatever. I told her it was nasty. I was like, look what you do to me. I made it her fault for being hot in my eyes, thinking that might work, you know. Guess what happened? I just broke up with an 18-year-old girl because of the gospel. Because she didn't have a daddy, and I figured she was vulnerable. I was smart. And I figured she needs a man in her life, but she didn't need me because I wasn't a man. I was a mess. So I milked that thing out until one day she said, hey. I mean, it took her a while. You know, people are vulnerable. They compromise when they're vulnerable. She said, hey, I just realized you're like not a Christian at all. And she said, I don't think you even know who you are. I think you're confused. I think you need to go find yourself. I said, hey, fine. It was good. See ya. It's an arrogant young man. I promise you, no one was created with the identity and destiny to scratch your itch. People are created to love, not need, not use, not abuse. Now I'm with my wife, so I just got another person on my list. I'm on my way home. I'm so mad because the gospel got in my way again. You have no idea how nuts I went. I was so mad. I got home. I found a Bible. I had to look for it, but I found it. It was trying to hide from me. I found it and I screamed at it like a man screams at a man. That's how lost I was. And I said, I hate you. I hate that I know what you say. I hate that your scriptures are in my head. I hate you. You're always in my face. You're always in my way. You're always getting in my way. You never let me do what I want to do. Hello? That's what I said to my Bible. Screamed at it. And I said, get out of my face. Do you hear me? Get out of my face. And I fired it across the wall and banged it into the wall, fired across the room into the wall because I couldn't sleep with a girl. Because of the gospel in her. It cost me. I was so mad. Went and found a bottle of vodka and just drank it till I didn't remember nothing. Figured I'd teach God a lesson to mess with me, you know. Go get drunk. Really wise. Set God straight, you know what I mean? You know what's amazing? 13 years later, I'm not even looking for God. I'm getting divorced and celebrating it. He comes strolling into work with his eyes fixed on me. See what's wrong with me? He loves me. He loves what he created me to be. He loves my destiny. He loves my potential. His love ain't self-serving. He takes no record of wrong. He didn't limp into my workplace and say, Hey, it's me. You put a pretty good thump on me a while back there. I'm trying to get over it, but I just wanted to talk. No, he just come rolling right in there. And here's what he said to me. You don't even know if God is really real. I'm getting divorced, celebrating it. My wife is so hurt and angry, she's just going off in darkness. She says to me, I don't love you. I believe I hate you. No matter what it is, I don't want to be with you. I'm done. I said, great. I've been waiting for this day. So you just made it easy for me. It's your desire. Great. And I just, arrogant as could be, I looked in the mirror. I said, Dan, you ain't the best looking cat on the planet. That's for sure. But I'll tell you what, you be encouraged, boy, because somebody's going to need you. I was smart. I said, somebody's going to fall for you. That's what I did. So I lost 45 pounds and got myself ready for an adventure. Sure did. I'm being real. Ain't it good when somebody's just real? My wife's 4 years almost older than me, 3 years and 9 months. Now I'm 33. And this 25-year-old was looking really good because she liked me from childhood. She had a crush on me. I was like her childhood because I was her brother's friend. And she was just a little girl, but she just thought I was something. Now she's 25 and I'm 33, and now 8 years younger sounds good. When I was 19, 3 years and 9 months older sounded exciting. See what we do to each other? Yeah. When we live for the flesh. And then one day we say, I don't think I love you anymore. It wasn't love. Stop fooling yourself. You're using each other. You're needing. You're living by your flesh. Come on, man. I know you didn't expect me to teach this. I didn't either. I'm on a ride with you. I don't know where we're going. I never know. I have no clue what I'm doing. But words keep coming. I'm at work. Jesus walks into my workplace like he owns the place. Comes to me and says, you don't even know if God is really real. I thought it was my mind. I tried to fight it off. What am I thinking about God for? Came back the second time. You don't even know if God is really real. I couldn't get away from it, Chris. He captured me. It was so intense. He didn't say, where you been, boy? You ain't been to church for a while. You sure been doing your wife wrong. You've been hurting a lot of folks. He didn't say none of that stuff we say. His beef with me was, you don't know me, and that'll change everything. Yeah. He didn't say you need to get back to church. If I know him, that'll all work out fine. His beef with me was, you don't know me, but you call yourself a Christian. On that day, I would have told you I was a Christian. On that day, Kevin, I'd have looked at you and said, well, I understand, man. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of my sins. I grew up in church till I was 20. And I quit going because I was tired of it, because I was tired of being a sinner, tired of him dying for me for being a sinner, and I didn't understand it, and I couldn't receive God's love. And I'm like, well, my life will never change, and why does he love a sinner? I'll just go, I can't stay here. So, disappropriation, little hypocrisy, all little, and I let men in my heart, and I just took off and found excuses to not go to church. Learned later that it wasn't church that made me a Christian. It's Christ-likeness. Yes. That the only reason we do this is to become more like him. Come on, this isn't just a ministry session. Don't be ministry crazed. I know we have needs, but this isn't just what God can do for us. This is all about him making us more like him. This is all about you leaving looking more like him than when you came. This is about the light getting turned on in you so you shine and live with impact and influence. Come on, this isn't the needy society. This is the born-again church. And I understand we got some needs going on, but I'll tell you what, none of them rise above the ability to live in the light. So my wife, my precious wife, this is sadly hilarious. If you'd know my wife, you wouldn't even be able to grip this. Hurt makes you who you're not. The reason unforgiveness is so wretched is because it keeps the offense alive. Forgiveness is such a gift and so beautiful because it renders the offense powerless as if it never happened. So you shut somebody up in your heart for 10 years and cut them off and don't talk to them and think you're winning, you're being the product and the masterpiece of what you're mad at.
My wife's at home with a 26-year-old getting counsel. She's 36, almost 37. She's at home getting counsel from a 26-year-old, drinking a little mixed drink, smoking a joint. Yeah, it's just sadly hilarious. My wife. Why? She's hurt. Here's what she said. Human reasoning, way that seemeth right. Watch what she said. I'm done with you. I'm done with this marriage. Hey, great. She went to her bedroom crying because I didn't care. Deep in our heart, we're probably hoping for change. We're probably hoping I cry and say, forgive me, let's get it right. Maybe this can work out. Let's go get some help. But I just looked at her. Awesome. Do what you got to do. I'll do what I got to do. Hope you have a good life. She went to her room crying and she said like this. She said, and you, talking to God, and you. She said, I'm done with you too. Watch, analytical, way that seemeth right. I prayed to you for 13 years. 13 years I cried out to you for that man. And you've done nothing. You've done nothing. You've allowed me and these children to go through hell. You've done nothing. I'm done with you. Pew. Yeah? See, that proves you don't understand relationship. You have some kind of business deal and you don't have a good partner. But it sure makes sense, and a hurting person understands. And all of a sudden, we're a great talk show, and she's a victim, and I'm a villain, and nobody will ever win. Come on, I'm talking straight today in this church. But guess what God's doing? I threw him against the wall because God and His Word are one. The Word, God is the Word. I threw God against the wall 13 years before, and He comes strolling in the workplace and said, you don't even know if God's real. All of a sudden, I'm captured. My wife's sitting at home smoking. It's crazy. She said, come on, it's a sad scene. Just ramping up her defense, ramping up her justification, and don't even know what she's doing because she's not an evil woman. She's hurt. She says to the lady, you know, it'd be just like my husband to come someday and say, I found the Lord. I was finding him all right, and I wasn't even looking. She said, well, don't you believe that. Don't you buy into that. These men are weak. They forget. They don't realize what they had until it's lost. And then he'll come groping back. And yeah. Don't you do nothing with him. Don't you? I'll show you how to have fun. I'll show you how to live your life. Don't you ever yield back to him. He's a dog. You know that. Yeah. And she's like, yeah. Truth is, I'm at work. And Jesus is telling me that I don't know him. So I'm like crying, realizing I'm lost. And all of a sudden, this grace comes on me to look into my own heart and get real with me for the first time in my life. And what I saw was not pretty. I saw selfishness, hypocrisy, pride, and didn't even like me. I had such a false pride, and I didn't even like me. And I just started bawling, and I said, I'm lost. My life is pitiful. I'm crying. I'm at work, uncontrollably bawling. You don't cry at work if you have a warehouse job. Them boys will eat you up for the rest of your life. But God shielded me. No forklifts, no pickers, no workers. No, it's just me and Him. He set it all up. I threw the Bible against the wall and went and got drunk. He didn't say, oh, okay, you smart aleck. Have it your way then. Fine. He's love. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. He was determined to woo me. He was determined to capture me. He was determined to arrest my heart. Because Jesus' words are before him. Forgive him, Father. He knows not what he does. My wife's sitting there. Forgive her, Father. She knows not what she does. See what's wrong with me? It's the gospel. It's not my fault I believe it anymore, man. I don't. So I'm at work and I'm crying. And I said, if you're real, if you're out there, if you're real. That's what I said. Crying like crazy. I said, if you are real, if you really love me and can forgive me,
all these things and have a plan for my life. I will live for you. And heaven overtook me. And God's heart came inside of me. And he became so real. I looked like, before when he was talking to me and I was crying, I looked like I needed a sedative and a straitjacket. When he became real in my heart, I needed a whole lot more. I can't act it out. I'd offend people. If there's a spirit of religion in here, I would locate it. Did I say that? I'm not trying to be mean. I was so changed. I went ballistic. I was screaming, "You're real." I was pulling my hair. I remember jumping, running, looking goofy, spinning, freaking out, going, "You're real. You're real. You're really real. Ah." And I was just like, "Ah." I'm talking 10 times more than what you're seeing me do. Ballistic. It hadn't fallen off of me yet. I calmed myself down to communicate. I'm serious. Because he's real. And when that happens, nothing else ever matters more. It never matters more. Because this matters most. And it fascinates me that God didn't come and say, "Boy, what are you doing? Boy, do you know where your life's been? Boy, you haven't prayed forever. Boy, where's your Bible? Boy, you ain't been in church." He said, "You don't even know if God is real. Because he knows in knowing him, I'm changed." Right, yeah. 30 minutes after the encounter, I thought about my wife. 30 minutes, I'm freaking out. I'm trying to work and I'm going, "Oh, you're real. You're real." I'm just crazy. You're like, "You're real." And all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, I thought of my wife and I went, watch what the gospel does. Because I'm not thinking for myself anymore. I went and I saw my wife clear for the first time in my marriage. And I went, "Oh my goodness, my wife is amazing. My wife has tried so hard. My wife has gone out of her way more than out of her way. My wife didn't go an extra mile. She went beyond miles. My wife is so loving, so serving. I ran her battery dry. I hurt that woman. Oh God," I started to cry. And all of a sudden I knew for the first time in my life that I loved. And I hadn't read my Bible yet, kiddo. I didn't even go to a seminar or service. Nobody laid their hands on me and said, "Love, be imparted." Guess what happened? Love came inside of me. And I was looking through its eyes. My wife just said, "It'd be just like my husband." And guess what I did? I'm overwhelmed. I thought of my wife. I ran to the phone. We weren't talking. We weren't 5 months. We weren't talking. I ran and called her out of the blue. After 5 months, I called her on the phone. I said, "Kim," she said, "what do you want?" I said, "I don't even know how to tell you this. I'm so shook up. I'm so overwhelmed. Kim, God is real." Click. In a second. Click. We were living in the same house, so we didn't blow up our finances because we knew we would need some finances. But so we were trying to live in the same house, not together. It was horrible. At the cost of our kids. I'd walk in, she'd go out the back door and never communicate, never even say a word. I'd walk in the house, she'd see me pull in the driveway, she's sneaking around. By the time I'm in the door, she's in her car backing out, leaving, and I never knew when she's coming back. I'd leave sometimes. She left for day, two, whatever, just knowing I wouldn't leave the kids. And when I'd come home or she'd come home, I'd do the same thing. We lived that way for 5 months. It was so thick and so much tension in there, oh, it was damaging. That night I came home from work. She is waiting in the living room. It is so not my wife. I don't know where that button is that ladies can push sometimes, but I mean, you ever see that Wolverine guy that gets some big silver things? That was my wife, unless I was just hallucinating. But my wife is, she's a little timid, sweetest thing on the planet. Pray for you. God will touch you. It's just fun. And she's just standing there. I walk in, nothing she said could hurt me for me. It hurt me for her because I knew I did it to her. Because in my workplace, I said, "Lord, When I was thinking of my wife, here's what I said. Watch this. Some of you need to really listen carefully at this and weigh this. I said, Lord, I hurt this woman. I blew up this marriage. There's nothing I could do to restore it. I believe it's your will. I believe you can make it right. Today I'm going to trust you with my marriage. But no matter what happens there, God, I'm going to get to know you. Like I can know you, like I've never known you before, and I'm going to become everything you're wanting me to be. Thank you. And never one time prayed for my marriage after that moment, because it wasn't my focus. My focus was getting filled with Jesus. My focus was becoming like Him. If all you can do is keep praying for your marriage, God, I am my marriage, it's insecurity. And after a while, you're not even growing in Jesus. You're using Him to fix what you need more than knowing Him. Never even prayed one time for my marriage. My faith was before the throne, and I trusted that He wanted us together. Watch. People come to me and say, Pastor, you got to pray for me. My spouse has left. Pray that they come home. I say, I have a better plan. Let's pray that you get formed in Christ like never before. I don't think it's just get them come home. You get formed in Christ, and then God looks at you and sees Himself in you, and He has something to bring them to, Him and you. That's probably a better plan. It's amazing how we think. My pastor's good, you know. Lady comes up the altar. You're a man of God, Pastor. When you pray, God moves. I need you to stand in faith with me. He said, okay, honey, what is it? He said, I want you to pray that my husband stops pushing all my buttons. And he just has learned over the years just how to make me just get a rise. I mean, he's this strategic. It frustrates me so bad because he knows how to do it precisely. He just got me so figured out. So you just pray that God would convict him in such a way he'd have no desire to ever again push my buttons. And Pastor said, you know what? Let's shift that prayer up. How about if we just pray you go buttonless? That's a oh, and she went. We're always waiting for somebody to change, ain't we? Listen to me carefully. This is amazing. My wife accosted me when I walked in because she don't know no better. She's hurt. She freaked on me. You're a fool. You're this, and you just want the family to think I'm the villain, and you just want to come out looking good. And I know you. I know you're. And I'm like, God's real. You know, that's all. I was consumed with God being real. I wept and said, I'm sorry. And, oh, you ain't sorry. They're just words. Because she's out having a game plan with her counselor, right? And don't you fall for this. So guess what she did? I went into the bedroom and sought Jesus. You have no idea. Turned my clocks to the wall. I don't have a relationship with my wife. My kids and I, we needed to get some things straight. I took my daughter out to eat the very night after I got saved. The Lord said, take her out to dinner. She's 10 years old. I never spent time with her. I hurt that little girl. I was mean to her whole life when she was 10. She never had a loving daddy, even close. And one night I took her out to eat. I said, honey, I want to take you out to eat tomorrow night. It was the first day I was saved. The next night I took her out to eat. It was Thursday because that's when I was off work. I took her out Thursday. I said, Thursday, I'm off work. I want to take you out to eat. She said, I'm going to tell Mommy. And I said, no, I'm not taking Mommy and Daniel. I'm just taking you. It's just you and me going out to eat. She said, just you and me? Like, you just taking me? I said, honey, I want to take you and I want to talk to you. I want to have a good time with you and spend some time with you. And I want to take you out to eat, okay? And she said, okay. And she bolted. I heard her in the room. Mommy, Daddy's taking me to eat Thursday. Not you, not Daniel. Just taking me. Taking me. That little girl's heart went zzzz. And what was down in her in God, what was just came alive. It wasn't about how bad I had been. It was about I was ready to love her. I took her to eat. She's sitting in that booth swinging her little feet, having the time of her life. Kids are amazing. I took her in the driveway and I sat and I said, honey, I want to talk to you about something. I said, you know how Mommy always took you to church and you always learned about Jesus? Yeah. I said, well, Jesus came into me, honey, and He's changed my life. And I said, you're always going to have a daddy, and I finally am ready to love you. And I am so sorry for hurting you. I'm so sorry for this, for that. Daddy? I said, no, honey, it hasn't been okay. I have hurt your heart, and I've been changed, and it's going to be different now. I love you. And she went, whoa! And I just held her. It was so awesome. I would go in my bedroom and pray.
And I'd be walking the floor, because remember, I woke up praying in tongues. So I could pray. I'd be walking the floor. My little boy would, I'd hear the door, and I'd look at my little boy, 5 years old, would come. I'm not exaggerating. I'd be praying. Out cold. 5 years old. I'd just walk. He's laying out cold. He'd get up. In 3 days, he's sitting at his toy box. It's bubbling over. He'd follow me. I'd pray. Sometimes 4 or 5 times, I'd touch him. Jesus. Kids are amazing. But my wife, on the other hand, was older. We lose innocence. We have rights. The court of our mind is... So this girl without... She's a good girl. You have to understand, she's a good girl. But she was hurt. So for 7 weeks, she went out of her way to break me and prove that it was all a hoax. Went out of her way. Whatever that means, without me exploiting things. She went out of her way to break me and get a flesh rise out of me. And all I could do was love her. Because I would go in my bedroom and turn my clocks and just be with Jesus and seek Him and seek His heart and seek His love. And the scriptures went, oh. And all of a sudden, I didn't even know how to be heard anymore. I was like, my life has changed. I'd come out of my bedroom. My wife was standing there one day. You make me so sick. You live like the devil for 13 years and now you're in there praying like some holy man of God. I don't think so. She was frustrated. She was hurt. I could have said, well, you know, Kim, God forgives and changes people and shows mercy. Maybe you ought to be spending some time with Him so you could look through His eyes and stop being hurt and judging what I'm doing and da-da-da-da-da. I can't make up for yesterday. Why are you? I could have told her all that and been totally right, but it wouldn't have been right. And she'd have clawed my eyes out anyway. So that's when you need to know. And I just looked at her and my eyes were filled with tears and I said, I can't imagine how you feel. I'm sorry for the way it was. And I'd just sneak by her and she'd be like, that ain't my husband. He'd usually cut me up with his mouth and pin me to the wall with his words. I was changing. And she saw it. One day she came home 6 hours after leaving the house for the whole weekend. Snuck in the back door hoping to catch me inappropriately, yelling at the kids, watching junk on TV, doing something that she could just relieve her conscience and go, aha! Now you watch this, guys. I'm not boasting in me. I'm telling you what's possible. I got a woman watching me like a hawk for one accusation and can't find none because I'm surrendered. That's why she wrote that little note I read you last night. Because she lives with me. She don't just listen to me preach. She lives with me.
And I got that note. Ooh! Ah! That's amazing.
She come in. She's catching me, right?
Guess what I was doing? I'm on the living room floor, Indian style, teaching my kids how to worship Jesus. She goes, I said, Kim, what's...
I'm fine. She went up the stairs. She wasn't even there for anything but to catch me. She stormed up like she went something to get something in the room and went right out and never said a word. She said she was so mad she was yelling at God the whole way up the road. I don't understand. Why didn't you? And how come now? And I'm just... Because see, we get rights. We've been hurt. Somehow somebody got to make up for it. You can't make up for it. You can just change. You can't take back what you said. You can't take back what you did. You can never change where you've been. But who you are can change. And God will never judge you for where you've been. He'll judge you for what you've become. So we better learn how to love, how to forgive, how to show mercy, and how to be like Him. The easiest thing on the planet is to live in your flesh.
but it costs too much. The easiest thing is to have an attitude, be angry, and live in unforgiveness. But it's way too pricey. But it's the easiest thing for men to do. Is just have rights and have issues. That doesn't make you special. It makes you like everyone else that doesn't know Him. Oh, I'm preaching right now to you. 7 weeks after I'm saved, I'm out in the yard working beans. Kim goes into the bathroom. She's doing her hair. She's going out somewhere. She's got plans and she's going to get purdied up. And she picks her little curling iron up. She's ready to do it right. The Lord came in the bathroom. Poof. Confidently walked in like He owns the place. He didn't come in and say, "What do you think you're doing? You're a disgrace to me. Man, you make me mad. You're acting like a knucklehead." He come in there. She said she went. Because God can do that if He wants. Now this is a girl that said, "And you, I'm done with you. See, forgive her, Father. She don't know what she's doing. He ain't holding her accountable for that. He's coming to love her past that. He's come to overwhelm her with His goodness and cause her to change. It's not the reprimand of God that changes men. It's the goodness of God." He strode in that bathroom and said, she went, "Oh." He said, "Why are you so angry with that man? That's not even the man you're angry with." This is my favorite part. You know why? Because He can't lie. Watch what God said about me. This is my favorite part. Watch. He said, "In fact, Kim, that's not even the man you married. I have made him a brand new man." Whoa! She goes, drops her brush, freaks out, collapses on the floor. Fetal position. Because her eyes went, ting, 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 ting. And all of a sudden she got separated from the hurt, the anger, the frustration, the retaliation. And God just went, whoop. And she, she's bald. He hovers over her. He says, "Kim," because now He wants to make things right about, "And you, I'm done with you, da, da, da." He hovers over and he says, "Kim, it's true that you prayed for 13 years. But Kim, you bound my hands from ever answering your prayer. Because you never once prayed for him because of love, because of mercy. It was only hurt. It was only pain. Kim, you were reduced to another hurting wife that prays. And Kim, I couldn't answer your prayer and allow you to stay that way. Because that's not who you are in me and who I am." That's the connotation, right? So now, who knows that I'm the villain and I owe a big apology because I lived like a bum, right? The gospel comes into me, changes me, causes me to see her value, causes me to be sorry, causes me to grow in God. The gospel comes to her. Guess what happens to her? She comes flying, looking for me. And she busts open the back garage door and I hear it slam and I look and she's running. She's just a little thing. She's running across the yard. I got the rake, you know. No. It's a joke. I got the rake and I'm like, and she's just running. But she's talking repetitively as fast as she can talk. And she's saying one phrase over and over. And guess what it was? "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm 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 sorry." And I went, "Wah!" And it was a mess. Emotional cry fest in my yard. And it bothered me so bad that she was saying she was sorry. Because I was sorry I pushed that girl way over the line. And she's sorry? See, in her eyes, now her eyes are on her, taking responsibility for her. All of a sudden she's realizing no matter where I've been, she can be like him. And she's allowed me to determine who she is instead of him. And she turned her eyes from the one so lovely. And that's why her life wasn't looking so good. And she's crying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I said, "Stop it. What do you mean you're sorry?" And I'm, "Ah." She, "Ah." It was nasty. And I said,
don't you know how sorry I've been in bothering you? She said, no. No, she got assertive. No. She said, I prayed for you for 13 years, but never because I loved you, only because I was mad and angry. And I knew if God changed you, it would make my day better. He couldn't answer that prayer. Forgive me for not loving you. And I went, what? It was ugly. And all of a sudden I put wedding vow to you. She said, huh? I want to renew my wedding vow. I didn't know this was coming. I'm a spontaneous fellow. She said, okay. I said, Kim, I didn't even know what I was saying. I do know it now. But it came out of my spirit. I said, you owe me nothing in this marriage but to receive the love of God from me. And as long as I draw breath on this earth, I will serve you in His unfailing love. And she said, okay. And then I said, now let me get a pad and a pen and write down your vow to me so I can hold you to it. No, I didn't say that. See, because I love you never says, I love you. Do you love me? Because then all you're saying is, I love you for me. And that's a hurt day right there. I love you only ever says one thing, guys. It just says, I love you. And that's all it ever says. So I've been empowered and privileged to keep my vow ever since that day. And 20, almost 1 years later, it's the way it is. And that's why I got that little note. If you didn't hear that note and weren't here last night, who wasn't here last night? Let me read the note. Hope you have the best weekend ever. You are a true man of God. I doubt God can find many men, parentheses, if any. Now, this is my biased wife. On this earth, with your integrity, character, and good heart. That's from my girl. That's from somebody that lives with me, not hears me preach. Phew. That was a very modest yell. It's in me a whole lot bigger. I just didn't want to freak any of you out any more than I already have. You want those kind of notes. Because every morning you wake up, it ain't what she can do for me and how she can treat me and what I can get from her. Every morning you wake up with a brand new reason for being. How can I love you? How can I be like Jesus in your life? And if you'll follow Him, those notes will be your reality. If you let where they are and where they aren't matter more, you probably won't get those notes. You might get a good note, but that's a good note. Now, it's my biased wife, so she says it's not fair when she says it's from her view. I doubt if God can find, if any, many men, if any. That ain't true. I looked into the eyes of a whole lot of those men waiting to grow into that potential this morning at breakfast. It humbled me to look into your faces. Because Jesus is doing something in us, man. He's teaching us how to love and know it's the strongest position of our lives. Yeah? Yeah. Listen, you are not a Christian for blessing. You are not a Christian for favor and breakthrough. You are a Christian to love. And you are a Christian to model Christ and shine in the earth as His body. And all those other things are awesome, but that's not why you're saved. You're saved to be like Him. Period. So here's the deal. Oh my goodness, I get so late with stuff. You guys turn it over to me early too, man. And then I'm like, Like right now, I'm so wound up, I feel like that was my intro. No, you have no idea. Can you see how tired I am? Can you see that I'm just wearing out, standing on my feet and trying to come up with something else to say?
I'm so fired up right now. It is ridiculous. I tell people I'm like a supernatural pool cord doll, man. The string has never broke, and the mouth never stops. You say, ain't you going to run out of batteries? Maybe my battery pack, but not what's inside of me. That Energizer thing, he ain't no match for what's in me. I've burned out Energizers in this pack. I don't ever remember burning out. See, because there's a key you need to understand. I'm not preaching to you out of my calling or out of my ministry ability. I'm preaching to you out of my relationship. And I'm a cup running over. And you are in my saucer, friend. You'll never reach my cup. Ain't nobody ever drank out of my cup. You couldn't reach it. That's why I never go dry. If you say, brother, you pour it out and pour it out. Please, Jesus, fill me up. Peace, brother. You ain't drinking out of my cup. Spirituality is measured by overflow, not how full the cup is. If you're drinking out of my cup, I'm going dry. And then ministry's tough and a burden. I need to find balance. I don't even know what you're talking about. 20 years into this thing, I don't even want to know. Okay. Let me do this gospel thing real quick. We'll do this real quick. We're going to have fun. You stay with me, all right? Remember, Pastor said not to leave if you don't have to. Well, I know it ain't going to be my preaching. It's way too good. Why would you walk out? It's all right. You say, is that proud? Nope. I just know my preaching is good. I feel it in my heart. It's changed my life. I'm confident about what I say. It's not arrogant. I'm not going to be falsely humble and say, well, you know, I think it was okay. Nope. I'm giving you every opportunity in the Holy Ghost to run well. I promise you. My conscience is clear and I'm encouraged. I feel like I've preached the gospel to you. Paul says, I have preached the full gospel to you. That's how I feel every time I preach. Yeah. Pastors are asking, well, what's it cost to bring you in? And what are you expecting? I said, what are you talking about? Finances? I buy my own plane ticket. I'm not going to ask for reimbursement. And if you don't take an offering, I ain't even going to blink. I'm not coming for an honorarium. I'm coming for the kingdom. So for 8 years, I bought all my own plane tickets out of my ministry, came on Jesus' dime. Last year, I told 8 churches I ain't receiving an honorarium because the pastor, I didn't tell them until later, they pushed too hard for an offering. So I shut him down and came up with a way to protect him and cried and let the people know I wasn't taking an offering because I didn't want it to be rhetorical. I didn't want it to be, you did us, we'll do you. 8 times last year, I refused an honorarium and flew in on Jesus' dime and never took a penny from the church. Why? I'm not in this for an honorarium. I tell pastors, disappointed this weekend is if you reach the kingdom. I said, and if you hand me a mic, that ain't going to happen. So we got this thing rolling. So what do you say? I'll see you in a few months. I tell them, Pastor, I say, if you never hand me an envelope, I ain't even going to blink because that ain't why I'm here. And I ain't even going to say, I wonder why they didn't. That ain't why. This is not a business deal. We didn't sign a contract. This isn't my way of living. It's not my career. It's a calling and we're family and I happen to love you and believe what I'm preaching is true and it'll empower your life. Because here's the deal. I'm going to fly home tomorrow and nobody can do anything about the way I am. You can hate me. You can disagree with me. You can gossip. You can talk about me. You cannot receive me. It doesn't matter what you do. I don't want you to do that. But no matter what you do, I'm going to be this way and ain't nothing, nobody. It's too late. You can't keep me from hearing his voice. You can't keep me from loving you and others. You can't keep me from telling that person on the plane what I'm hearing in God and watching them cry. Nobody can stop the Spirit of God. I'm so secure in that, it's ridiculous. It could almost sound like arrogance if you hear what I'm not saying. Okay, here's the deal. Jesus came. He's more than our Savior. He's more than our forgiveness of sins. He's more than our way to heaven, guys. Jesus is our model for life. He came and fulfilled what man failed. Let me just talk to you for a minute. He's the only one that could come. He was perfect. He was God's son, but yet he laid down his glory and reputation and came as a man. He was born of a woman. Freaks me out, fascinates me. I sit and dwell on that stuff. When I first got saved, I sat for hours and thought about this. I thought, he didn't show up in the wilderness at age 30, buffed and ready for ministry. He sat in the womb of a woman like I did for 9 months and came through her birth canal. He's God. And he lets Holy Spirit put him inside a woman. Why? Because he has to become a man and he has to do it as a man. And God wants to defeat the devil through a man. Why? Because of the value that's the created value in man from the beginning. God wants to restore what we're created to be. And he's so serious about it that he's willing to become like us to redeem us. Come on! He knows that he's never going to do wrong, and he knows that they're going to call him wrong, call him a blasphemer, call him the son of Belial and all the stuff they did, demon-possessed Mary. They know. He knows that they're going to kill him. And he comes. And he still does good. He doesn't let who they are and what they do decide him. He is already settled. This is so amazing, man. Don't let it be an Easter story and a baby in a manger. It's God in the flesh. Why would he do something so extreme if he didn't think the purchased possession had great value, potential, and purpose? My whole life I was taught that Jesus died on the cross because I was a sinner. No, he didn't. He had to die because I sinned, but he died to redeem my value, purpose, and destiny. Nobody pays a high price for nothing. We think we have to preach to men depravity to lead them to the cross. You're supposed to preach value and purpose and destiny. Jesus did not die on the cross to expose my sin. He died on the cross to remove it, therefore exposing my worth to him. You don't pay $50,000 for a $20,000 car. Come on, man. You work that guy. You take his commission if you can. And then you say you got the best deal in town. And you don't write the check unless you're sure the car you're buying is worth the number on that paper. And yet he shed his blood for you and me, Amy. Because he knows the purchased possession in him is well worth the price. He knows what you look like when he's in you, submitted. We got to stop thinking we're just sin waiting to happen. Fallen flesh, failures, forgiven. Not perfect. Scratch them bumper stickers off your car. The world hears hypocrisy when they read that. They see nothing powerful about that. Scratch them off your car. Jesus did not make that bumper sticker. You want to get alone with him and weep in humility and ask him to let every ounce of grace that he paid for come on your life and make you what's possible. Stop letting men be your standard. You're following Jesus. Your life can look like him through the person of Holy Spirit. Trying not to sin will never change your life. Waking up declaring you're free from it, righteous and accepted in his sight will transform you because you're making the tree good. Now listen carefully. As you're in that process, you get memories and flashbacks and feelings. And we've spent too many hours ministering to flashbacks, memories, emotions, feelings. We are not sensual people. We're faith-filled people. So the devil, he comes and says, oh yeah, saved, huh? New creation. What about this? And he runs a flashback through your mind. Who's ever had a flashback? Who was ever doing good and feeling momentum? And all of a sudden the thing you dreaded and regretted went through you like a movie. All of a sudden felt real, and that defiled feeling, that shameful feeling. It was almost like your thoughts were on a movie screen and the world was watching, and you just wanted to curl up if you're not careful and just internalize and go, oh, and think it has something to do with who you are.
What a lie from hell. The fact that you care, the fact that you don't want to see it, the fact that it bothers you means it's not you anymore. Yeah. Instead of calling for prayer and thinking it's you and taking it personal and No, you ought to reach out your heart to God and rejoice and go ballistic in praise and thank Him you're a new creation. You're driving along in your car and that picture comes of that thing you wish you never did. And it's right there. It's not in you. It wants to become you again. And because you see it, you think it's in you and you think you need delivered and you think you need... You don't need prayer. Ministry doesn't make you free. Truth does. And if all we do is minister to each other, we're teaching us to live by our feelings instead of the truth. The best thing you can do. The best thing you can do. You're driving in your car and that thing comes through you. You totally ignore the devil. You don't even act like he's there. He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. Don't put him on a platform. You say, well, brother, we're supposed to resist the devil. No, you're not. You're supposed to submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. It's a one-step program. Your submitting is resisting. You just resist, you'll get tired. You'll wonder why it's not working. You'll turn the gospel into a method instead of a relationship. All of a sudden, yak, yak, yak. Picture, picture, picture. Memory, memory, memory. And you're driving in your car and out of your heart says, Father, I thank you, you love me. Father, I thank you, you've transformed me forever. God, you put a good and new song in my heart. I thank you, I'm washed in the blood and clean in your sight. And now keep your eyes on the road. And Father, I just... And just boy, that sure beats getting grayed out and calling for prayer. What's your name, man? Charles. So Charles, you love Jesus. You're growing in Jesus. You're right in the front row. You like this all night. You're awesome. So Charles is growing in God, right? Devil says, hey, I don't like this, man. I'm afraid he's going to see what we know someday. That's going to be trouble for us. Hey, we know we can't stop God. We know that. But we can stop Charles. We've been messing up men from the beginning. Ha, ha, ha. So he calls a little assignment over. Psst, Charles. He thinks he's on a roll, man. He thinks he's growing in the spirit. Just remind him of 10 years ago and just whisper this and say, oh, boss, you're awesome. You're so cool, boss. You're the man. And Charles is at work and he says, hey, Charles, doing good, huh? Well, what about this? And what about, remember? So what's really the big deal, Charles? Because, I mean, that wasn't good. A lot of people got hurt.
Charles got two options right now. He can listen and go. Or as soon as he hears that thing, he can say, Father, I thank you for the transformation of my life. God, I thank you. I will not. And watch what this little imp does. This little imp goes. And Charles is, and he's like, Mr. Limka.
Boss, that Charles guy? I told him everything you told me. Good, good. No, boss, you don't get it. It's like he didn't even hear me. And it was like I wasn't even there. And then he began to lift his heart and worship God. What? You fool. Boss, I did. I promise I did. You couldn't have. When you tell Christians those things, they get discouraged, depressed, and call for prayer. Not this Christian. This Charles dude. He's on to us, boss. He submitted to God. Yeah, let me get him myself.
I don't play a good devil.
Yeah, Charles, really free, huh? Well, what about those feelings? What about them emotions? Remember yesterday? Yeah, and remember that memory, Charles? If you're so pure, why are you thinking that stuff, Charles?
Father, I thank you. You're just the sanctifier of my life.
You're teaching me good things, God. I thank you when things of old and memories of yesterday come. All I can do is rejoice in you because I am a brand new man. And Satan's like, why? Because he can't reach him. He can't touch him. If he lives by faith. Come on, that's just solid. So here's the deal. I probably did this the last time I was here. I do this a lot. It's one of my favorite things to do. I don't pray for a lot of people and minister a lot anymore. I do a lot of teaching, training, and equipping. But when I have this kind of altar call, I do the praying. And I like it a lot. But I need your humility in here, and I need your honesty tonight. Listen to me carefully. The blood of Jesus makes us brand new people. We're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. That brother, right there you are, man, from the breakfasts. Yeah, you and the guy behind you, we were sitting together and we got talking. And he said, you read Romans 6, 7, and 8. And I'm like, he's talking my language. I was like high five and fist bumping. He said, you read Romans 6, you'll never buy into Romans 7 and you'll live Romans 8. And I said, dude, that's like... And I said, if you really want to get happy with it, I said, start in 5 and just get a head start. Because Romans 6 tells us that we've died to sin and reckon ourselves dead indeed to it. Because we were baptized into Christ and the death he died to sin once for all. The life he lives unto God. You likewise reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin. Now that doesn't sound to me like, well, brother, you know we're never going to be perfect. Why are you buying into that lie? Because it sounds right and doesn't produce life. How can you reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and then say, well, you know we ain't going to be perfect? Wonder if you ought to let grace take you as far as possible and stop drawing that line and deciding what that looks like. Why don't you stop letting men be your example and follow Jesus? See, here's the deal. I just preach to you. You don't live with me and know me. But I do. And sometimes it's hard to preach what we can live and experience because the church thinks it's heresy. Because we so relate to the flesh and the fall of man instead of the transformed life in Christ. Yeah. 1 Peter 2, he died on a cross bearing your sin and my sin in his body on a tree. Where's your and my sin? His body on a tree. That we, having died to sin, should live in righteousness by his stripes, we were healed. See, forgiveness of sins, new identity. What'd you do? You didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. You died to sin. Isn't that awesome? It says he reconciled you through the death of Jesus, through the body of his death, to present you holy, blameless, above reproach, if indeed you continue believing that and are never moved away from the hope in which you heard. You know what that means? You're wholly blameless and above reproach in his sight if you indeed believe it and don't let anything ever change your mind. Isn't that awesome? It's all through the scripture. Do you know Romans 6, I think 4 times says you're free from sin. The Bible must be heresy then. Maybe God's a blasphemer. Yeah. Free from sin. It says, he who has died has been freed from sin. Why? Because you have no self-centered motive anymore that buys out your flesh. Why did Jesus live and walk free from sin? Because he didn't come for himself. He came for God and you. And me. I just made it personal for you. I didn't count me out. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So here's Jesus hanging on a cross. What happened on the cross?
Do you know Isaiah 52 says that he was marred more than any of the sons of men? Come on, think with me. Marred more than any of the sons of men. That means at the hands of men, when they were done, Jesus was left worse than any man ever at the hands of men. That means when they were done, he's indescribable, beyond recognition, can't even tell who he is. Why? Why couldn't it just be 39 stripes and get it done and a few nails through the hands? Why did he get beat beyond description and why did he lose his appearance? Because when sin got done with man in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. So Jesus came and got his visage marred beyond description so to pay the price to get our full identity back and fulfill the purpose of God's created value in us. You talk about love. This is a man that knew he was going to die. This is a man that knew they were going to reject him. And he still loved and he still healed and he still fed the hungry. And he still raised the dead. And he knew they wouldn't receive him. And he said, it doesn't matter. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So it's like a Misty Edwards song. He's like, I'm going to show them what love looks like. Don't you turn this into an Easter story. Don't you turn this into a suffering Savior. This is Christ crucified to put life back inside of you and restore destiny in the hearts and lives of men. You did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. You've been transformed and reborn. Are you hearing me? Now watch this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. If any man be in Christ, he's a... That's amazing. Old things have... Listen carefully. This is a very important part. Old things have... Behold. So all things are all things. So everything before him has passed, and behold, everything now is new. The Bible says in Romans 5:10 that it talks about seldom would a man die for anyone, for a good man, righteous man. But yet God, while we were yet sinners, sent his son and Jesus died for us while we were ungodly, right? And it says that he said, if we were reconciled through his death, how much more shall we be saved from wrath through his life? So Jesus becomes sin on the cross. God doesn't curse his son. He makes his son to be sin and curses sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over you. That's why you don't get what you deserve. Mercy's triumphed over judgment. I'm just explaining the cross a little to you. Are you all right? Is this too deep or is this too... You getting this? Come on. Jesus, he who knew no sin was made to... See, God cursed sin on the cross. See, he said, even as Moses lifted the serpent, so shall Son of Man be lifted up. And we all say, oh, he's just signifying the way he's going to die, because that's what your Bible says in parentheses. So much deeper than that. Moses made a bronze serpent. The serpent was biting them and killing them, the effects of sin and complaining and the worthless bread. And Moses, you're a terrible leader. And God, you're no good. And these serpents came and boom, boom, and they were dying by the thousands. And they said, Moses, we've sinned. Go tell the Lord we're sorry and ask him to remove this thing from us. So Moses goes through another wardrobe, tears another thing, dust on the head, cries out to God. Them boys went through some clothes, man. He's old cuff. He just, he goes in on behalf of the people, type and shadow of Christ, high priest, representing the... So he goes, they're crying out, they know they've sinned. Would you remove, would you relent this thing? Would you get it out of here? He said, I'll tell you what I need to do, Moses. Say, I'll forgive him, I love him. But I'll tell you what I need you to do. Take a serpent, just like the one biting him. Make a bronze replica and put it on a pole, and it'll be that if any man, when you lift that thing up, if any man's been bitten, he'll be healed. Man, I read that when I'm first saved, and I'm like, even as Moses, so shall the Son. And I'm reading through, and the Holy Spirit says, Holy Spirit goes, hey, psst, you're going too fast. You're missing something. There's so much there. There's so much there. Look. I went, what? Well, wow. Back up. I go to Numbers. I read it. I sit on my bed and I go, I'm puzzled. Why'd you make a replica? This looks like a graven image to me. Why'd you make a replica of the thing that's killing them and lift it up before the... Why didn't you wave a flag that said, Yah? Like, why didn't you hold up Aaron's rod that budded? Why didn't you just lift up the Ark of the Covenant or the tablets? He said, because they're my Hebrew people. They know the law. And They know that anything hanging on a pole has been cursed by God. So when Moses lifted the serpent on the pole, they said, wow, Moses talked to God. God said, yeah, I'll forgive. And he cursed the thing that was killing us. And faith rose in their heart and they were instantly healed. Even as, so shall. He doesn't want you to see a suffering Savior. He doesn't want you to cry on Easter. He wants you to lift your heart and rejoice that God has cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over you. For the law of the Spirit of life through Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I've sinned and deserved to die. Jesus came and gave me life, pulled that identity off of me, and put a brand new thing in my heart. See, it's the. But here's my problem. Here's my problem with what's going on in the body of Christ. We say, well, brother, but you reap what you sow. Well, that can be true without repentance. But when there's repentance, you reap what he sowed. If old things pass away, it sounds like me. Redemption is back, bought back to original value. Here's the deal. Some of us get into life and we do life and we make mistakes. In fact, everybody in the room has fallen short. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now watch this. Some people in the process have actually gotten marked and tainted and touched through that in some way. And other people seem to do things over and over again and it never seems to catch up with them physically. There's people that will shoot a dirty needle for months and their blood's all right, and they ain't got nothing, or they'll sleep with 5-6 partners in this day and age without protection, and never nothing ever happened. There's some people getting an emotional thing, they ain't got no protection, and they say, oh, it's okay. And one time, just one time, bam, incurable herpes virus. See, it ain't fair, because there's no mercy out there. But mercy triumphs over. So watch this. There's people in the church today that have done things they wish they never did, so that changes who they are. And God will never judge them for where they've been. He'll judge them for what they've become. So my question is, why is where they've been judging them? Are you following me? Because if old things pass away and all things become new and the blood speaks better things. And redemption means brought back to original value. And Paul says spirit, soul, and body blameless till he comes. I'll bet you he wants our blood clean. I'll bet you he wants our memory and concentration restored. I bet he don't want no hepatitis or STD in his people. I bet you he will never judge you for where you've been. What the blood of Jesus forgives, the body removes. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. You're a young girl and you got into a season of numbness and you started cutting and now you're saved and see your value and wish you never marked your one God's body. I'll bet you he can wipe his hand over your arm and take them things off of you. Time to recall. I'll bet you I've seen hepatitis more than I can remember come out of blood. Why? Because it ain't the person anymore. And if they could go back and change it, they would, but they can't. But the good news is they've changed. And God will never judge them for that day. So that day has no right through the blood to judge them. Because all things become new. I've seen people come off of transplant liver lists and no hepatitis in their blood. I don't believe you, Dan. I told you yesterday, unbelief's a problem in the body of Christ. So I'm either a wicked man lying, looking for your temporal impressed moment, and I'm a wicked, twisted fella, or I've seen stuff. I'm going to go with seen stuff. You'll have to figure all that out. Who's ever done something in this room and when you look back and saw for what it was, you wish you could have went back and did it over and you wish you could have changed it? Who honestly can look at their life and say, man, if I knew what I knew now, I'd have made different choices than I made then. Who can honestly tell me that's true? Well, then let me ask you this. Are you the person you're remembering, or are you a new creation? Yeah. So if that person died and you're not that person anymore, then why would that person earned? Why does it still have power over us when we're new? So if you trashed your lungs just smoking and smoking and smoking, and now you finally got a grip and got rid of them cigarettes, but you can't breathe right, and you get exasperated going up a flight of steps, and you know it's because you've hurt your respiratory system. And you stand before God and say, Father, I wish I never put that in my body. And I thank you for redeeming life and restoring life. It's all about your purpose and will. And God, if I could go back, I would do it over. The freedom I feel now, I wish I'd have never put one of them things in my mouth and in my lungs. And I thank you that you forgive me and wash me, and mercy triumphs over judgment. And I reap what you've sown. I'm telling you, God can give you new lungs. I've seen it. He can give you new kidneys. He can give you new liver. He can give you new heart. He can take hepatitis out of your blood. He can crush every foul STD that we've gotten through inappropriate living, because our hearts have changed. And if we could do it over, we would. But we can't. Regret would eat you alive. But godly sorrow leads to repentance, and you're vindicated and proved to be clear in the matter. I'm speaking the blood and the power of the cross to you. So what the blood of Jesus forgives. See, the blood of Jesus forgives the act of sin committed, Pastor. And the body was paid. A heavy price was paid in his body, right? To remove the penalty incurred. So you eat the flesh. And you drink the blood of Jesus Christ and receive life. And unless you drink the blood and eat the flesh, you will by no means receive life. That's why I preach it. Why is it a separate altar call? Why is it a separate healing prayer? Because people feel like they deserve what they've got. That they earned it, that they should have known better. People say, well, I knew better and did it anyway. Okay, well, now you really know better. And if you had a new shot at it, you'd do different, wouldn't you? Yeah, I guess you didn't know what you thought. So do you think it's humble to just hold on to your results, or is it humble to receive his love? What's more humble? Say, oh, well, God, I'll get through with it. Look, I brought it on myself. Oh, stop it. You try to talk Jesus into that after he got beat beyond description to get you free. Yeah. Now here's my point tonight. I need your humility. And I need you to not be ashamed, because shame is saying it's still who I am. And worrying about what other people think means you're not free in your own heart. Everyone in this room has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some have gotten bitten in that, and some haven't, in the way of a mark or a lasting effect. Are you hearing me? So if you're in this room and you're born again and you wish you didn't live the way you lived, but the way you lived caught up with you and marked you, and you're carrying some effect, no matter what it might be, and it's none of our business and I won't ask. I don't care. I just care that it leaves. And I'm telling you, the grace of God will empower us tonight to be free. I tell an emotional story. I could tell you so many, and I go back to the same one sometimes because they're just perfect examples. I'm in the service, and this lady comes up to me, 52 years old, and she told me the whole story. And I said, I don't want it, and she told me the whole story. I'm just praying. It ain't a charismatic show. It's faith. It's the power of the blood. I get in the middle of the line, and she grabs my arm and starts crying, and she says, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl. I'm like, okay, I can see that, kiddo. It's all right. No, no, you don't understand. She tells me the whole story. Married 30 years to the same man and only ever knew him sexually in her whole life. One man, her husband. One man, 30 years. 30 years in, he gets an eye for a younger lady. Leaves his wife of 30 years who has only ever been with him and takes off with the young lady. She goes into identity crisis, gets broken, weighs her age, starts thinking like a woman in the flesh, gets hurt, gets insecure, guess I'm losing it, I guess I'm an old maid, I guess I can't turn his head anymore, he sold me out for a younger model, I guess I'm not a woman. Let the sin and depravity of one man come in and rob her identity. Let one man do one thing and override what one man did. And in an emotional whirlwind and blur, this man comes into her life. Isn't that amazing? And says all the things she desperately needs to hear. And in one moment of time, she gets in bed with that man, the only other man she's ever been with in her life. Through hurt, confusion, and pain, she's sleeping with a man, and all of a sudden it hits her. This is not my answer. Oh my God, this is wrong. She kind of like got herself out of there, grabbed her things, cried the whole way home. Felt defiled, felt dirty, felt all kinds of things, crying, crying, crying. Trouble is, in a couple days, she gets some funny symptoms. Her body's acting up. She goes to her family doctor, her lifetime family doctor. He knows her. He texts her out and he goes, he doesn't even know how to approach her. He says, I don't know how to tell you this. I don't know what's going on in your life. She starts bawling. Here she has incurable HPV virus in her nervous system. She sleeps with one man her whole life outside of her marriage in a time of hurt and chaos. One man. And that thing bites her and there's no cure. And she's so broken and she's crying, I'm not that kind of girl. Who knows that's true? You say, well, she slept with that man. Oh, stop it. She's hurt and broken. She learned a hard lesson, but a lesson nonetheless. So I looked at her. She got my emotions so raging right now. She's got me so fired up. She told me the whole story. It wasn't my fault. I looked at her. I said, you look at me, girl. And she's looking away, looking up, looking down. I said, no, look at me. She looks up at me and I said, that's coming out of you. Do you understand? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, no, honey. That's coming out of you. Watch what I said. You don't even have to agree with me. It's too late anyway. I said, and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. Come out of her in Jesus' name. No thunder, no lightning, no fall down in the spirit. She just stood there and cried. And I nodded and kept walking. I went back to their church 6 weeks later for one reason. Are you guys leaving or are you just taking him to the bathroom? Or are you leaving? Okay, because I want to lay my hands on him before you leave tonight. You can take him to the bathroom if he's coming back. No, let's just pray for him, church. He's been on my heart all day. I've thought of him all day. You have no idea. I usually don't pray for people personally, but I try to get the church involved. You can get him in the chair. We're going to pray for him, church. You believe with me, Wes, all right? In Jesus' name. It's all right. Sit down, my friend. What's your name?
Rex.
Rex. Stretch your hands to Rex. Let's let this be a body of Christ and not a damn molar in his gifting thing, please. Rex, we pray for you in Jesus' name. You're loved by God. Spirit of God, come and touch this man. In the authority of Jesus' name, affliction and infirmity, you loose him. I command you in the authority of Jesus. Come out of his body. Every discomfort, every encumbrance, leave him. I command it in the authority of Jesus' holy name. Father, I thank you right now for doing a work through his body. Restore his respiratory system, his organs, his body, God, his mobility. In Jesus' name, touch him and make him whole. Father, I thank you. I thank you. He just keeps changing, undeniable, undoubtable change. God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name. Okay. Now listen to me, guys. No, it's all right. You don't even have to. Don't even just let. God's doing a good thing. I'm telling you, he was on my heart today. Watch this. So I said to this lady, "That's coming out of you. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Come out of her in Jesus' name." Just kept walking, pray. I had to go back there 6 weeks later because they were in a transition with pastor, and I told him I'd help them. 6 weeks later, I go back, and this lady comes running to me. She's excited, and she's just glowing. And she comes up to me and says, Pastor, it's so good to see you. And I'm not making fun of her. She would just... And I'm like, okay, hi. She said, guess what? And I said, what? It was just so obvious, right? She starts weeping. She said, I've had every sort of test. It's not there, Pastor. They can't find it in my blood. And I said, watch. I said, do you know why? She said, yeah, I know why.
Because God is so merciful and God is so loving. God is so... And she starts worshiping the Lord. Who knows she's right to do that? But I laughed and I said, well, honey, that's not the answer I was looking for. Let me tell you why it's not there. Because the things you just said about God need a place to land. I tipped her little chin. I said, let me tell you why it's not in your body. Because you're not that kind of girl. Ah! Come on! That's amazing! What? Learned a hard lesson, but a lesson nonetheless. I've been in services where girls had their bodies burned and cut so bad with cigarette butts and razors. And Jesus gave them completely brand new skin. Completely. I was just in a service where an 18-year-old stood and bawled and kept trying to check every place that she burned and cut and even rolled her pants legs up and shook and bawled because nothing's there. I was in New York and a lady just got free from heroin, and every day she'd take a razor and put a check mark on her arm to mark the days of dread and gloom. Another day in the books. It was horrible. Her whole arm was check marks. And when we were done praying, she didn't have one check mark. I've seen four people with suicide marks and gashes and scars completely disappear because they wish they never tried to kill themselves because of what they know now. So God says, well, then let me just show you redemption through my blood, because the blood speaks better things. Yeah? I need your humility and I need your cooperation. When you come down here, because you're here, or I wouldn't take all this time. I would have got stopped. The Lord would have said, we're not going there tonight. It doesn't fit. Oh, it fits. Watch. When you come down here, here's what you're saying. Boy, if I could do what I did over, I would do it different. And I'm going down there because this is not who I am. I'm loved, I'm redeemed, and I'm His. And the blood is speaking better things. I'm not condemned. I'm not guilty. I'm not ashamed. I'm His. And if you're a lady, you're not that kind of girl. And if you're a man, you're not that kind of man. Why? Because you're His. You could have hurt an organ. You could have hurt your memory. You could got something in your blood. You could have done about anything that makes you less than whole. And if it's because of choices and decisions and actions, Jesus, through His blood, wants to make it right. I believe it with all my heart. You could be in your marriage and you brought that thing into your marriage and you got to hurdle that thing. And now you both have that thing. That thing needs to come out of your marriage tonight. Are you following me? I was in a service and a lady was 17. She slept with this man and vowed she'd never sleep with a man until she was married, but she was sure they'd get married. So she's only 17. She's in love. She sleeps with this man and got the worst case of genital warts the doctors had ever seen. She was to three specialists. They said, we don't know what to tell you, but it's the worst we've ever seen. 24/7, profusely, grossly covered. 17 years old. Watch. Now she's 34. Loves Jesus. Serves in ministry. You can see her face shine. But them things are covering her. For 17 years, they're covering her. Now watch. She's always wanted to be married and she's always wanted to be a mama. But she never had another relationship because she didn't want to bring a man into that mess and expect him to understand. So she just said it'd be easier to be in love with Jesus and stay single. So with all her heart, you couldn't tell she was loving the Lord. But on that night when we had this altar call and I'm preaching, she is bawling because she knows these things have robbed 17 years of her life. She comes up front. We pray for her. She don't tell me a thing. I don't get discernment. I don't even want to know what's going on. It's not my business. Bam. It's my business that you go free. Bam, bam, bam. She goes home. She's opening up the front door with her little key. And the Spirit of the Lord comes over her, Pastor. He said, don't you be afraid to look at what I've done to your body. She goes running in her house, checks her body, and cries and cries and cries and cries, because for the first time in 17 years, she is completely free and clean from genital warts. Now watch. She's crying in her bed, crying in her bed. She dozes off for a couple hours, and all of a sudden it's morning because she's overwhelmed. She hardly sleeps. She wakes up She checks herself again and just cries and cries and cries. She comes into church and says, pulls pastor, his wife, and me into a room, tells us the whole story, bawling profusely. We hug her and we weep and we worship Jesus. And she says, who knows? Perhaps now I can find a man of God and we can become one and have children. I said, probably so. Yeah? Yeah. You say, well, you get what you deserve. No, you don't. You get what he paid for. Nobody's getting what they deserve. We deserve to die and we have everlasting life. Come on, knock it off. Ah! Enough said. It's late. If you fit this description, don't just come up here just for a healing. This is a specific call. You've been living with something that grabbed you through life's decisions and it's tried to stick with you, and you think about it when the symptoms flare up or the blister shows up and all of a sudden you're reminded of that and you're trying to use it as a testimony, etc. But yet, it would just be greater if it would go away. You with me? If you hurt yourself in life's decisions and you're carrying that mark and you're born again, and if you could go back and do it over, you would, but you can't. I need you up here right now. If that thing's marking your life, please get up here and be humble. Yeah, somebody be bold and lead the way, because you'll be amazed how many people it involves in this room. It's probably no less than 20, 25 people, 20 people. You come on up. I'm proud of every one of you for coming. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, come up. It's because it's not who you are. Life's being changed. Come on, come up. Yeah, come up. Just look to God right now. This isn't some charismatic altar call. This is you and Jesus, love and forgiveness. Come on. Tell him that you believe he loves you right now. Just tell him you believe he loves you. It's the most important thing. That's why you feel like you want to cry when you do that, honey. It's the biggest liberty of your life when you believe he loves you. That's it. It's just overwhelming. And you believe it. Say it in your heart again and again. Say, man, you love me, Father. Is this one of your girls? Just this one here, not this one? Okay. You're such a good leader. I love you. You have no idea. Father, I thank you for your love. Just tell him, people. Tell him you believe he loves you. Tell him you believe he forgives you. And here's the real big question tonight. If you could go back and do some things different, would you? Would you? Yeah? Well, then let me tell you good news. If your answer is yes, sincerely yes, then here's the deal. I'm not talking to the person we're remembering. I'm talking to somebody that's changed. Somebody that's different. Are you hearing me? Thank him right now that he loves you. Thank him that you believe through the blood and through the cross he makes all things new. Tell him you believe he's redeeming your life right now. Honey, I don't want to embarrass you, kiddo, but I'm telling you, believing God loves you is the greatest day of your life. And you won't strive anymore. You won't try to fit in. You won't feel insignificant. I feel like your whole life you've struggled to feel significant. And you've tried to win that, to be broken again and again. I feel like your heart got broke over and over. And it tried to make you angry and cold and don't even want to maybe even try again. And I actually feel like you were on the edge of that a lot in your young life. And God's saying, no way, girl, I treasure you. I love you. Has nothing to do with what you haven't understood, your decisions. It has to do with I created you to be, and I created you to be mine and to live in my spirit and be close to my presence. And I love you. That's what the Lord's saying to my heart right now. So you be redeemed and you be made whole. And not one trace of yesterday remain in your life. Spirit, soul, and body blameless till Jesus comes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. If you're standing up here, you be humble right now. You lift your hands to the Lord. It's not a works thing. It's just a yielded thing. You just lift your hands to him and you just tell him you believe he loves you. And you believe he makes all things new. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' holy, precious name. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Be absolutely clean and free in Jesus' name. Love of God, come in this house. Touch your girls, touch your people. That's right, washed right now. Spirit, soul, and body blameless, honey, till he comes. You know what I said to you in the beginning? I don't even know if you knew who I was or if you knew I was a speaker, but I tell you what, I looked at you. Did you even know I was a speaker? No? But I tell you, you didn't either, did you? Yeah? And you knew what I said and did was sincere. My heart got grabbed when I looked at your girl.
this lady is such a good leader. I was talking to this man and I saw her behind him. I said, hey, honey. And I hugged her and I said, girl, I need to hug you. And she said, oh, no, you can't hug her. And she hid behind her. And I said, what do you mean? Come here, I'm hugging her. She said, no, she's in this ministry. And she said, you can't hug her. And I said, oh, my goodness. Okay, I get it. I said, thank you for being bold and strong. She don't know who I am. She don't hug her. Are you kidding? No, hey, she's in the ministry. You don't need to hug her. And I said, well, let me tell you why I wanted to hug you. And she said, do you know why? And she said, no. And I said, because when I looked at you, the love of God filled my heart for you because you're valuable and you're precious to Him. And I just wanted to hug you and respond to what I was perceiving about your life and do that. And who knows, sometimes we just need to hear that and be confirmed in that and believe that. Yeah? And believe that somebody saw that when they looked at you. Ugh. And it meant a lot then, didn't it? See, and after you realize I was the speaker, you're like, you are so awesome. That's a good leader. You have no idea how powerful that is. But watch this. I get to love on her now. See, you're sitting right here, but I get to. And it ain't like, gotcha. It ain't like that. No, she ain't going to fall. No, I'm telling you, isn't that awesome? But your heart feels free right now. Stretch your hands to this young lady, because I'm telling you, I felt the love of God for her. Father, I thank you. You touched this woman in a way that her life is revealed as if she's never eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As she's never lived a day of rebellion, a day of willfulness. God, you touch her so deep and so powerful. And Lord God, you wash her through and through. Let her get such a grip and a revelation on your love and her righteousness in you. And God, you make her the most rock solid girl. You make her be beyond what she thought was ever possible. You exceed her wildest dreams. And God, you take her above her teaching and above everything everyone imparted. And you seal her in grace. God, let it be easy for her to believe. And let it encourage many, many others. And let what you do in her life multiply in the many. Man, I feel like you have a pretty amazing story at a very young age. And I feel like you made it hard on some folks around you. And actually, you've come to a place in your life where you feel bad about that. You actually feel like you wish you didn't do some things because of what it did to others. And God says, you know what, honey? You can never go back and change that. But the reason your heart feels that way is because you've changed. And because that's bothered you, I'm going to flip that thing, says the Lord. And the way you seem to put people in a position, in a demand to respond, in a troubled spot, I'm going to cause the total opposite through your life. And through your life, you're going to see that I begin to bless through you and love for you and make life easier for others through you. You're going to see I turn things around, says the Lord. And the thing that bothered you, I say, that's because it ain't you anymore. So I'm going to work it to the good and I'm going to transform that thing and turn it in a 180. And I'm going to give your life testimony, impact, and influence, says the Lord. Because I've captured you. I love you. And I'll never let you be snatched from the palm of my hand. And I'm revealing my goodness and my love, says the Lord. And you'll never serve me. You'll always love me. Because I'm revealing myself to you. Yeah. God, I thank you for it. Amen. What I tell you, by the end of the service, I said, you're going to feel like I hugged you. Didn't I say that? Oh! It's so awesome. Father, I thank you for loving your kids. I'm thanking you right now for redeeming your people. Stretch your hands and start praying for them. Pick out somebody and bless them, guys. You don't need a word. You don't need prophecy. You just need what you came up here for, clean and free. Amen? I usually don't always lay hands on people. I'll just pray corporately over you, but I want to touch you and just believe God with you. In Jesus' name, clean, free, no mark, no yesterday. That's right. In Jesus' name, son. Jesus' name. That's right. That's good. Yeah. No striving, no working in your life. God's doing something in you, buddy. Don't you ever regret. Don't you ever look back and regret. The fact that you care means you're changing. Your heart's being made pure. You got to learn to rejoice in that always. Don't you be deceived in any emotions that look back and feel, ugh. Don't you, you can't work yourself to change. You are changing. God's doing it. And He's making things new. I bless you. I bless you guys. Man, this is awesome. God, you're making people clean and free. Clean and free. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just, when I touched you, man, and I know we met just a little bit, we didn't talk much, but I heard this phrase, "Here we go again," when I laid hands on you. And I was like, "Lord, why'd I hear that?" And he said, "You just tell him to not worry if anybody says, 'Here we go again,' because that has nothing to do with you. Don't you let what people say or don't say bother you. That 'Here we go again' thing has nothing to do with you. That's just men looking at you through their eyes, not through mine. And the Lord says, 'I see your heart. I see your commitment. I see your sincerity. Don't let men decide how you feel and what you do. Stay close to me and watch me transform your life.'" You're not a "here we go again." You're "here I am, Lord." I bless you, man. That's a good word for you. I'm telling you, I know when I hear God on that stuff. It's all right, sir. Nope, don't you strive and struggle. You receive His love. It's okay. Just thank Him. He loves you right now. No, it's not too good to be true. You believe it right now. No, He loves you. It's not too good to be true. No, don't. Them voices are lies. You don't even need to try to shut them off. Just know right now He loves you. That's it. That's all I'm asking. Jesus' name. Them voices aren't any threat to you, man. You don't need delivered and you're not possessed. I promise you. If you were possessed, you wouldn't be standing up here. I'd have had to come and get you. Don't stop believing you're possessed. You'd have had to come and get you, friend. You walked up here. Nobody's bald and chained when they say, "I want you, God." There ain't a power great enough to hold you back from Him. I call you free. I declare peace and grace and peace on your mind and your soul. And most of all, the strength of truth in your heart, sir. And I declare that this battle is over. Stop trying to fight it. Just live the good fight of faith. Believe God's love. Stop trying to fight a battle. Don't let your identity be lost in the struggle. You are called to be a child of the living God. And even as your hands raised up, live that way. Live with your heart toward Him and before Him, because He loves you. And He's paid a price for your redemption. I declare freedom in your life, sir. And I declare your ears and your mind holy before the Lord. And if something bothers your heart, it's not coming from you. It's being suggested. Stop believing it. Don't even look at it. Lift your hands and thank Him that He loves you always. I'm telling you, this is a day of freedom for you. I don't know you, but there's something significant happening in your life. It's a time of turnaround. It's not a repeat the same old thing. I'm telling you, God is changing your situation. Your experience, your daily experience you've dreaded, and you felt like until it changes, you can't be free. And I'm telling you, God's saying, go ahead and be free. Go ahead and declare freedom. Go ahead and say, "You have delivered me from the power of darkness, and You have translated me into the kingdom of the Son of Your love." God, thank You for marking him for glory. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Man, I worship You, King Jesus. God, touch Your kids. Bring healing and restoration in Jesus' name. That's good. No, receive it. It's the love of God. He makes all things new, buddy. Come on, Lord. Yeah. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That's all right. It's just God saying, "I love you." Man, I could hear it. He says, "I love you. God, God." Jesus' name. Yeah, that's, you have no idea probably how powerful. I'm telling you, I put my hand, I could hear God screaming inside of me. "I love you." And He God, thank You. Yeah, I bet you do. I'm telling you, God is so good. This is fun and powerful and awesome. Come on, all you need to do is be sincere up here. God does the rest. It has nothing to do with even my gifting or anointing. It's the gospel that's touching you. It's the finished work of Jesus that changes things. And love tonight is pursuing all of you. I'm so proud of you for coming up here. You have no idea, all of you. God, touch her. Touch your girls. Freedom. Now, I'll tell you what I'm seeing, too. You didn't come up for this, but there's been a thing going on in your mind. I see it.
And I'm telling you, you have to trust Him tonight. He's changing that. Don't identify yourself or mark yourself with the way it's been. And don't label yourself as anything but His with a clear and sound mind, okay? I see this. There's a thing's been going on in your mind. And God's doing something about it tonight supernaturally. Don't feed into it. Don't relive it. Don't even hash it out and talk about it anymore. When you leave here tonight, you go home. Don't be afraid to be alone. Don't be afraid of the night. Don't be afraid. You get alone and you say, God, You're doing such a work in me. And I receive Your love. I'm telling you, He's doing a work. And that everyday experience, that thing that I'm seeing is being handled. I'm just going to say it like this. It's being handled by the Lord. You keep your heart before Him, sweetheart, and you thank Him for His love continually. And you watch what you experience from this day forward. It's so powerful. Yeah, it's just good. Do you mind if I hug you? Oh, I want to hug you. Bless you, girl. Thanks for coming up here. Father, I just thank You right now that You make all things new. That's right. Do it, Jesus. I don't need to touch You. I just hear the Lord just say, back off, let You be comfortable. That's awesome. I'm just going to hold Your hand. Father, thanks for the tears that are moving in her heart. Most of all, the refreshing truth of Your unstoppable love. I hear the Lord saying, and I don't know you at all. I just met you, and honestly, was it Patty? I cheat. Stop. No, it wasn't my memory. That was good. I was listening hard, and I heard Him whisper it. He knows your name. I remember. Like, I hear, like, God wants you really encouraged, and He doesn't want you to try to find hope in other things. I feel like you spiritually got let down somewhere along the way, and something tried to quench your ability to believe and be excited. But it's not you. It's not your heart. It's not an evil thing, and I'm not even correcting you. I just feel like God is wooing you gently and graciously to Himself. And He doesn't want you to put your hope in anything and trust your emotions and feelings to anything but His love and continue afresh to grow in Him as of this night. And I'm just telling you, God is wooing you to His presence, to intimacy, to a new, fresh prayer life, and even a hunger for His Word in your life, to where you by yourself are just seeking Him and filling your heart with Him. And I just feel like He's going to meet you there, honey, with revelation and with excitement and with good things. So I just feel like this is a healthy season for your life where God is just shaking your attention and drawing you. Because I believe you've been so mindful of God, but you've just pulled back in some ways, and God's saying, no, no, no. I love you. Don't be afraid. Man, we're going to be amazing together. So I'm just asking you to hear that and just pursue that and weigh that for what it means to you. Father, as far as the reason she came up here, I thank You it changes as of right now. And I thank You, God, it's completely finished in her life. And I thank You there is no way she can walk out of here with the reason she came up here. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Father, I thank You for wholeness. I thank You for change. I thank You, God, right now, washed through Him by the blood in the name of Your Son, Jesus. God, I worship You. Yeah, that's good. Redemption, honey. Good tears from this night onward. I say this a lot. I'm not just coming up with this in the Lord. I say, look, we're never looking back again. You know why? We're not Lot's wife. We're His wife. So we look up from whence comes our help. I'm telling you, I see the face of the Lord shine upon you. And the way I saw you singing last night, you oughta. You oughta. Because His grace is upon your life. And tonight, I believe He's bringing redemption to this area of your life. And He's separating you from any action, any mistake, or any place you ever found your life outside of Him. I believe He's separating you from that tonight and sanctifying you. And He's standing you apart as His own. Yeah. And I bless you. I pray your voice grows for the Lord. And I pray your heart keeps understanding like never before. I bless you, honey. And I say, you be productive, you shine, and you have an impact. And one day you stand before God and you carry a legacy into His throne room. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. Amen. Amen.
If you have sickness out there and you need prayer, just grab somebody's hand beside you. Be bold. Just grab their hand. Say, I need you to pray with me. We're going to pray. Believe with me. Just grab their hand right now if you have any form of sickness. I'm doing this quick, but it's not going to be ineffective. It's going to be awesome. I had a lady come up and she said, I slept on my shoulder all night last night, woke up, and it's completely free. There was no way I could have ever done that. It's just fun stuff. Just 10 seconds of prayer last night. Grab their hand. Be bold. Grab their hand. If you need healing, you need prayer, just grab some. Just say, here, pray for me. All I want you to do right now is start saying, in Jesus' name, be healed. Be absolutely whole. Father, I thank you. Through the name and blood of your Son, Jesus, driving sickness out of bodies whole. Kingdom of God, come in this house right now. Father, we're pursuing a greater manifestation of healing in our lives. We're not afraid to believe. We're not afraid to grab a hand and pray. It's not even about us. It's not about failure. It's about what's not coming. God, we are not loving our own lives unto death. We are coming after you. It's not about failure. It's not a point in time. It's the position of our heart. We believe your gospel. We believe the yes and amen of heaven. Be healed in Jesus' name in this house. Sickness, you leave this place. You leave God's people. Be whole in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Do me a favor. If you can, just stand to your feet with me. Just please stand to your feet with me. And let's lift our hands to the Lord. And let's begin to honor Him and thank Him for who He is. You don't have to shout, you don't have to scream, but just be sincere. I just see us honoring Him. Just yield to Him. Just, I believe your gospel. I want you, God. Be personal right now. Approach Him. Give yourself to Him. I'm not asking you to do a corporate celebration right now. We could do that. That would be easy. But I want you personally right now to go to Him. Say, I want you. I want this message. I want this reality. Come on. The only thing you need to do to start becoming love is to want to. To want to. Just tell Him you're a yes. Tell Him you're a yes. Tell Him I'm not hiding anymore. I'm not holding back. I'm not compromising. I'm in. I'm in, God. Whatever that totally means, I'm serious and I'm in. And help me walk in that thing because it's my heart tonight. I want to walk in love. I don't want to let things decide me. I want to let you already have that settled. I'm done going the places I used to go and doing the things I used to do. I thank you for transforming me. I thank you for changing me and making me new. God, I love you. Now, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this house, in Van Buren, and in our lives. You're amazing. Your eyes are fixed on us, Lord. You know us. You know we're here. And you are pleased to call us yours. So we honor you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Pastor, would you run up here and just close, pray something that comes to your heart over the people, please? Just pray, man, like you've never prayed. Pray your faith over the people, please. I just saw it in the Lord.
So Father, thank you tonight that all across this room, your children are rising up to be what you have ordained them to be. That in this hour, God, you're raising them up to be your children in this world. I right now speak and release over every person in this house, God, your eternal destiny in
Come
their
on,
life, God.
That's right.
I pray, Father, tonight that faith arise at a new level.